So, four students walked in halfway through the American history test my father was giving at the community college. Not my father, this is a story that I got. They said, sorry, they said, we had a flat tire. An understanding man, Dad said that if they could all answer just one question correctly, he would give them each an A for the exam. They agreed. So Dad handed each one a piece of paper, placed the four in separate corners of the room, and said, write down which tire was flat. So Father's Day, a day to set aside to remember our fathers and reflect on all that that means for us, good, the bad, even, I think, the ugly, in terms of how God would minister to us in the context of that. But as I did on Mother's Day, I decided this year to focus our attention on marriage, the primary relationship that is in each home, that ultimately, even if we would desire to be great fathers or great mothers, the primary thing that God would call us to be is to be a great wife, to be a great husband. But rather than talking to moms or wives about what they should do, I talk about what they should receive for their day. Naturally, the call on men to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Well, today, I will do the same for fathers and husbands. But before I get into Scripture, I want to help you ladies understand a little more about what makes a man tick, and maybe help both of you understand how different men and women tend to be. It's not good or bad. It's just the fact that we're different. And I think when we think about the balance that should exist in our lives and maybe the continuums that we might find ourselves in different dynamics, I think you'll find that a lot of the sources of conflict are placed in what I'm going to be talking about today. So, Father's Day 2019, wives submit to your own husbands. But the first slide would be, again, this male-female continuum, as I shared on Mother's Day. On one side, we have respect and accomplishment, and that just tends to be what comes to a man. Another thing I would want to say is all that I'm talking about is tendencies. Again, if you're a lady that seems to be more male in terms of a certain dynamic, understand that can happen. There's nothing wrong with you. It's not like you're a man instead of a woman. Or the same thing for a man, that if you have more of the female tendency. But these are just tendencies that come around. And like I said, I think you will find that depending on how far to the extreme you are, like you imagine a continuum between 0 to 10, and say, you know, 0 is the respect accomplishment where men tend to be, and 10 is the love relationship where women tend to be. The further you are on that extreme, the more conflict and lack of understanding there will be. And that's why it's important to understand this and to know that I think ultimately God, in the process of marriage, would seek to complete us, would seek to sanctify us, so we would all start heading more in the middle. That basically, even though a man, again, is more oriented to respect, he's more oriented to activity and accomplishment, getting things done, fixing and breaking things, all those different things. And women more focused on relationship and how are people feeling, how are people doing in terms of what they're occupied with. And again, the further extreme, the more lack of understanding, more conflict, but God would ultimately want us to come closer together. So the next thing I would point to in terms of, again, the male-female continuum, what would tend to come from a male and what would tend to come to a female on the next slide, we have men is risk and women is safety. Now, what I'm going to do on some of these dynamics of these continuum is in the parentheses are going to be when that goes to an extreme and the problem that exists in that. Like, we just have to understand that men are built for adventure. Men are built for doing things and accomplish things. Again, defeating the foes and overcoming things and figure out how things work and so on and so forth. But in the context of doing that, they are going to be far more comfortable with risk than women are. I mean, the classic conversation or the argument that tends to have, you know, the father's throwing the kid in the air, and what's the woman say? Don't throw him too high. Don't throw him at all. Wait a minute, don't let our son or our daughter climb that tree. They might get hurt, right? Isn't that what's always happening? And again, so depending on how far this continuum exists, again, men are more oriented to risk and are more comfortable with it, and women are more comfortable with safety. But what we have to understand is that if you push those things to an extreme, where now a man, in the context of his comfortability and risk, is presenting danger to his family, danger to his children. You know, men might be far more comfortable with, you know, putting their money in risky investments or, you know, put it here or there, because again, they're just more comfortable with those things. And they just have to be aware of, as women are projecting their safety towards you, oftentimes what they're afraid of is that danger. But what women have to understand is that safety, that orientation that they have, if that then pours over to fear, that can be a very destructive element. I would even say, particularly for moms who have boys, that when women have boys and they try to restrict them in terms of the male dynamic and all they communicate is safety and don't give regard to the risk and the adventure and the you know, whatever output or action boys would want to take and fathers would want to join sons in, there's just a place for a woman, particularly when it comes to boys, to let the father have his way. To do what the father understands has to be translated to a boy, particularly in regards to this. Like, it's great that you care about safety. It's great that you want to protect things and keep people whole and healthy and not broken bones and all that. But there's just a place for a father. There's just a place for that dynamic that exists in a man to just be comfortable with risk. And, you know, ultimately when the bottom line of all this, as we describe what a man is, and women, you look at that and say, that's crazy. Or that's just plain wrong. That makes me uncomfortable. The Bible ultimately calls you to respect and submit to that. And so what I'm trying to do is, before we talk about respecting and submitting, I want to get practical in just what you are respecting and submitting yourself to. And sometimes that is a father that is talking about risking things, throwing the kid in the air, or having fun, or whatever it might be. And you just have to realize there tends to just be this balance that exists. And again, it's not, again, some women are more comfortable with risk than men. Again, it's just as this are just tendencies that happen that oftentimes cause conflict between couples. The next male-female continuum is men tend to be more oriented to discipline, and women tend to be more oriented to encouragement. That's what those small words, oh, you can see it better there than I can see it on the TV. I mean, there's just a tendency for a man, because again, he's talking, he's oriented to activity, he's oriented to accomplishing things, he's gonna be more oriented to responsibility. He's gonna be more oriented to discipline. He's gonna be more oriented to correcting his kids in terms of just what he would communicate, as opposed to a woman, again, who's more oriented to relationship. She's more oriented to how she feels and how the kid feels and how other people feel, how the world feels. And so therefore, she's gonna be more oriented to encouragement. You know, oftentimes when you see situations where, oh, let's give everyone an award. You know, everyone participated in the race. Don't just recognize first, second, or third. Let's just give everyone a prize. Men look at that and say, that's crazy. Like, what? Like, why are you recognizing one kid in terms of just participating when another kid has worked hard and put forth his effort and just recognize the talent that might be there or the energy or the effort that might be there to say, no, it's first, second, and third. It's not just, you know, maybe a certain award for people that participate, but then the higher awards for the kids that are first, second, and third. See, that's just a man's orientation. Again, more focused on discipline, more focused on correction, you know, more willing to go there with their kids in terms of setting down consequences and being more firm on those consequences. Again, that's where we have to recognize that where that can devolve into, where the negative thing that can happen is, again, we can just become more negative as men. We can just be more oriented to correction and what's wrong. You know, I find myself needing to protect myself, particularly as my kids get older, and is there to the four winds, working and going to school and spending time with friends and having cars and so on and so forth, I'm finding that the times that I have to talk to them is very rare. And so oftentimes what happens to me is I talk about negative things. I talk about the things that, well, how did this get done? How did this get happen? What's happening with that job interview or did you get this? You know, and so therefore, oftentimes I'm orienting my conversation to what is a priority to me in terms of what are you doing today that supports you for your future? You know, whereas Karen, their mom, would want to say, well, how are you feeling? How are you doing? How's this relationship? How's that going? And it's just interesting the different tendencies that come from men and women. And to the extent that a man can devolve into negativity, a woman can devolve into just being too positive. I mean, there's a point at which encouragement can go too far. There's a point at which I'm sure we know discipline can go too far. But that's just tends to be what men, and again, on this continuum, you know, going from, you know, 0 to 10. And like I said, the more extreme you are, the more you're pushed into that direction. You know, I would even say that these dynamics are important for any man dealing with any woman and any woman dealing with any man. Like, even as you as a woman are dealing with men out in the business world, or men you're dealing with women, just realize this just tends to be the tendencies that come in, and we just have to be aware that, like, as you, particularly women, because you want to fix your man, we'll understand this, we'll get to this, but you want to fix your man far more than he wants to fix you. Just realize that. And so as you're trying to fix him, just realize that what he is, he's like not necessarily doing things on purpose. Like, he's not doing it to offend you. He's not doing it to hurt you. This is just the way I am. There's certain aspects of who I am as a man that you just have to kind of learn and understand that that's just the way it works. So, man, discipline, women, encouragement. The next, again, this is the male-female continuum. Another aspect of the female and continuum is a man tends to be thinking, whereas a woman tends to be feeling, a man tends to be silent, a woman tends to be talking, and men tend to be mental processors, and women tend to be verbal processors. I know there's a lot there, but I did want to go through some of these quickly because I do want to get to the Bible. But just understand that, again, just a general tendency is men tend to be thinkers and women tend to be feelers. You internalize the world in emotion, whereas we internalize the word through thinking. We tend to be more analytical. We tend to be maybe more cold in terms of the way that we process information and the way we communicate things. Again, not necessarily being sensitive to feeling because we're just thinking. And again, it's all what's happening in our mind. Men just tend to have less words than women, just in general. That like, you want to talk everything out, ladies. Men don't want to talk everything out. Men tend to be mental processors. You know, like, they don't want to talk about what they're thinking. They don't need to talk about what they're thinking. So that's the thing, that you as a woman tend to need to talk about what you're processing because you're often verbal processors. When you're communicating what you're communicating and you're talking with your gal pals and you're talking about all these things, you haven't even necessarily figured out what you want or what your decision is going to be. You're helping come to that decision by talking about it. Guess what? Men don't do that. We think about things and process it on the inside. In fact, for us to talk about it takes away our ability to think about it. So basically that question, that classic question, men, how did your day go? Or what are you thinking? We process through all the things we would have to communicate, all the things that happen, probably dismiss 90% of it and just answer, fine. Because we really don't want to talk about it. Even though, like, maybe someone, you know, did something evil to us at work or a kid was bad in school or whatever. But, you know, it's fine. You know, because he wants time in himself to process things. And he's not you. He doesn't operate like you. So again, depending on how extreme you are, you know, I find myself with a lot of these things to be fairly in the middle. If you get a man that is introverted and a man that's introverted, like, and you're a woman that's extroverted, you're in trouble. You know, and just in terms of just understanding that, because that introvertedness is just reinforcing that dynamic that's in a man already, and your extrovertedness is just reinforcing the dynamic that's already within you already. And so again, you just have to understand, this is the tendency. You know, what I would also encourage you to do as couples is I would take these things, take these dynamics, and have a conversation about them. Like, okay, the pastor talked about men tend to be thinking, they tend to be silent, they tend to be men. How much do you like that? How much do you like that, honey? Or woman to man, or man to woman. How much do you like that? How much are you feeling and talking? How much you have a verbal, like how much of our conflict, how much of our misunderstanding, how much of the things that we always rub up against each other in are described by these dynamics, by these continuums again. And it's not bad. The fact you, God intended for you to be these things. God intended for you to be a feeler and a talker and a verbal processor. So again, it's just different. And just understand that God in relationship, because we're different, desires to sanctify us through the relationship. It's the very virtue of being different that the beauty exists. I mean, if we were the same, if men were the same as women, women the same as men, not only would that be boring, but no completion, no enhancement would be done. I wouldn't learn anything about how the rest of the world works because of the fact that I'm married to a woman, so I get to understand that. So, male continuum, female continuum, the next slide. Ah, this is a big one. Men have segmented thinking, and women have interconnected thinking. All right, I mean, I've got the majority of this information, and I would have loved to show the video of laughing your way to a good marriage. Write that down, look it up, because this guy just does a hilarious description of what I'm going to be talking about here. But what he basically says, in terms of a man having segmented thinking, is that basically men's minds are disconnected from each other. And men's minds basically have all little boxes. Like there's a box for the car, there's a box for money, there's a box for a house, there's a box for your mom that's somewhere in the basement. But he has all these boxes in terms of just under how he processes information. And the way a man communicates is he takes a box out of his brain, opens that box, communicates what's in that box, and then puts that box back, being careful not to touch any other boxes. And that's how a man operates. And he segments his life. He basically, again, has different things he's experienced, things he's done, the things he's come across, and again, those are all being put in different boxes where he can then access those boxes and reflect back to them. Now that is something that is the way a man's brain is. Well, a woman's brain is all interconnected. That basically everything is connected to everything. That whether you're talking about the house, the car, the money, the kids, your mom, whatever, the husband, whatever, it's all interconnected to everything. And basically, all of that again is supported by this emotion. And so what that means is that when you in your brain connect a thought to an emotion, that means you remember it better. And so one thing men say about their wives is she remembers everything. See, men just don't make that connection, or if they make that connection, they normally just don't care about the past. They don't care about, again, how they were impacted or affected by this thing. Because, again, we're going to see this. They're more present and future-oriented, whereas women are more present and past-oriented. But basically, women are processing through things through emotion. And so the reason why they can remember things so readily is because you put a thought to an emotion, and that just seals it more firmly in your brain, is more readily available to remember. And so that's why, you know, a woman tends to get historical in terms of all the things that she has been through, all the things that you have done, you know, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. Well, remember 7 years ago you did that? No, I don't remember that. And that is just the way a man and a woman tends to talk. Now, another thing that this gentleman brings up is that there's a box in a man's mind that a woman has no clue exists. And that is called the nothing box. And what you find in that box is nothing. And so therefore, if a man has an opportunity to resort to his nothing box, he'll do that all the time. You know, that's why men can do seemingly mindless activity for time on end. That, again, we can go fishing and just fish. How was it? Fine. Again, not, for us, nothing needs to happen. It just has to be that I'm fishing or I'm playing a video game. Well, what are you thinking about that? I'm not thinking anything about it. That's the point. The point is I'm not thinking anything about it. See, but you women, because all your thinking is interconnected, that you can't, you don't have an, you have no idea, because there is no nothing box for you. Because everything is connected to everything else. For a woman, there's always something to talk about. There's always something to do. And in fact, the most irritating and frustrating thing for a woman to observe a man doing is nothing. Because the minute she sees a man doing nothing, there has to be something. We have to talk about something. We need to do something. And again, just watch how that affects your marriage. And how you as a woman, see, women, let's get to, is this next one simple? Go to the next slide. Because I wanted to get, men are simple, women are complicated. You know, this kind of flows from this. You know, basically, you ask a man what he wants to change about his wife, usually they will say nothing. Or if they say anything, what they will say is, I wish you would just leave me alone. I wish you would just let me do nothing and be okay with that. Or not make me... See, you ask a woman to describe her best man, her best husband, and you know what she'll describe? She'll describe another woman. And that's the problem. You want to make us like you. And God just didn't make us like that. And so, what we have to do as believers in Jesus in this whole dynamic of submission and love is intended to celebrate the differences. It's intended to your respect and your submission freeing a man to be exactly what God intended for him to be, and your love for a woman to free her to be exactly what God intended to be. It's not about control or power or the buck stops here. It's about each of you giving the other person the very thing they're looking for. And the greatest, remember the mantra. The mantra of a woman is, why does my husband not love me the way I love him? And the mantra of a man is, when will I ever be enough? Those are often the, in a frustrated marriage where there's poor communication, relationship is breaking down, oftentimes that will be the feeling part of what is going on in the two people. That a man never feels like he's enough, because what happens, I'm sorry, we missed the, you know, go back to the next one. I wanted to get to the simple and complicated, but what happens in terms of that interconnected thinking is that's where it becomes naggy. That's when, again, you're always trying to fix your man or make your man different. You're trying to, again, make him different than what he is. Now, what we have to be aware of, men, that's destructive in terms of our segmented thinking is that there is an aspect of unaccountability. Like, we do have a capacity in our brains and the way we segment things out that we can do this over here and it really doesn't change what's over here. Like, women will say to us, well, how could you do that and still love me? Well, because that's in that box. And this is in this box. And that's not right. I'm not saying that's godly. I'm not saying that with God. But men, we can do that. we can justify ourselves and rationalize ourselves by saying, but it's different. So we just need to make sure that even though it's right for us to have that segmented thinking, even though, again, we shouldn't try and change the fact that if there are boxes and you're pulling out, just boxes don't touch each other, you know, that's just the way it is. But then on the other hand, women, you have to make sure that you're like everything is not an issue. Everything doesn't have to be discussed. There doesn't have to be something happening all the time in terms of you processing words or processing emotions, whatever it might be. And in the compliment and the understanding, see, to the extent that, again, you see this continuum and you have this conversation between man and wife in terms of how far you are on this continuum, that's where you can talk, well, now what do I do as a husband to love my wife, knowing that she's way on the other side of the continuum? You know, I know people that, you know, you talk about that respect and accomplishment and love and relationship. Men and women are completely on the other sides of that. And so therefore, for some men, there's really no need for a relationship. What, I don't need people to talk to me. I don't need people to engage with me. I don't need people to be by my side. I don't need to talk to people about what I'm going through. And yet, what God says is, to the extent that there's a barrier, to the extent that there's conflict, what can I do for my wife that shows that I love her and move closer to her? What can I do with my husband to respect him, to submit to him, and move closer to him? Or just really trust him? That's really more than anything else. I mean, a man would always rather hear, I trust you than I love you. I'm proud of you rather than I love you. Because again, that is more focused on his accomplishments and again, what he is more oriented to. Let's go to the next slide. The one before that. So again, men are more simple. It takes less to satisfy a man. Again, a man oftentimes isn't trying to fix his wife. But women, you know, you have that tendency to try and fix your man. I think there is an aspect of men being more oriented to the present and the future. Again, what are we doing today? What's happening now? You know, it's kind of in another aspect of the way men think. You know, people are oftentimes sharing with me information about babies. You know, a baby is born. And Karen asked me, well, what happened with that baby? Well, the baby was born. It was a boy, I think. Well, what time was it? What's the weight? What length was it? What color is his hair? It was a baby, and I think it was a boy. Isn't that enough? Again, simple. You need more than that. But women, you're just caring about more things. You're more complex. But it's beautiful. It's wonderful that you're that way. We just have to learn. But you also, because of the fact that it is easy for a woman to leave things unresolved in the past. Like, for many times for a woman, if there's a hurt, if there's a distrust, there's something that you've done in the past that hasn't been fixed, it hasn't been addressed, it is hard for her to move on from that until that's fixed and until that's addressed. And oftentimes, that's why women get historical, because they're trying to fix how that is then affecting all the other things in their minds that is all connected. Again, we have a box that says, I don't know that I even remember that, but I certainly, even if I remember it, it's not important to me. And that's how men are engaging with the past, and yet women, you know, a woman has to fix things in terms of what happened yesterday. So that's another aspect, again, this continuum that exists. Nothing bad, it just tends to be the reality. And then the next slide, men tend to operate according to physical sex, women tend to operate according to emotional sex. You know, something to be aware of that I always tell my daughters is that men will play at love to get sex, and women will play at sex to get love. And just realize that's a dynamic that causes a lot of young girls trouble in terms of what is going on in that regard. But even in the context of marriage, I just realize men are oriented that way as opposed to women being oriented the other way. Men tend to have bad manners. Again, we don't care what you think. We don't care how it's affecting you. Again, I'm not saying it's right. That just tends to be what it is. Like, you're like, how could you do that? Well, I had to pass gas. How could you? Well, I had to burp. Do you need another explanation? But didn't you know that person was near you? Don't you realize there's another table? No, I really didn't think. I did realize the reality of that, but did I care about the fact that that's, again, that's just, you know, men, we just tend to have bad manners. Women, you tend to have good manners. That tends to be a conflict. You know, I just had to put this drive fast and loud music just because my wife, whenever she's driving with me, is turning down the music and telling me to drive slower. So I'm not sure, I realize that can be very different. So don't dismiss this whole list because of that. Like, if you're a woman that likes to drive fast and play loud music, I like the fact that my kids drive fast and listen to loud music. But anyways, so they're learning from their father. But there's that risk. There's that adventure in terms of what a man is doing in terms of those things. And just realize, again, dynamics that happen. Next slide. I don't think there's any more of that. I think that was the last one. Okay. Yeah. So I will not. I regret that we're not able to get into Scripture. But just understand that several times in the Bible, it talks about a man having rulership of his wife, a wife submitting to her husband. And so I think we have to understand how that works, what that means, what it doesn't mean, but it certainly doesn't so something that I would say, men, is that we have to understand that historically, even in our present day, men have abused that right. Men have abused that responsibility and that privilege that he gives in terms of being leader and the authority in our home. And it's really unconscionable the way that man would justify abusing a woman or taking advantage of a woman based in those things. And so just understand that in no way does the Bible condone or justify those things. But when you think about what a man is looking for in terms of that respect, what that man is looking for in terms of regard, there needs to be a thing, there needs to be a place where a woman says, I do submit to you. I do trust you. I am proud of you. There's a place that a man, again, is looking for that in terms of just what allows him to flourish, what allows him to be the man that God intends for him to be. You know, that respect. Well, you see, I just realize that there's a consistency with the way that the Bible communicates about this, that just makes it irrefutable in terms of that being God's intent. And so rather than, maybe this is what I'll end with, and I kind of said it before, but rather than that, than us reflecting on our own sentiments or reflecting on culture and saying, boy, that standard doesn't make sense, or that's not what I think the way it should be, to what extent are we going to understand the Bible to be what it is, God's communication to humanity, for us to understand his ways, his purposes, and ultimately what will work. And so therefore, in what God calls a man to do, and in loving his wife like Christ loves the church, and a woman respecting and submitting to a husband the way the church submits to Christ, let's figure out what that means. Rather than throwing that aside, having the conversations something you would never do as a woman is never dismiss the plans of your man. Never dismiss his ideas. It's fine for you to have input. You would actually be surprised as a man is going through his mental processing how much influence you have. That he is being changed and affected by you more than he's probably ever saying. But you have to understand, if you are disrespecting him, if you are bringing him down in terms of men, then you just have to say you're breaking him. You're not allowing him to be the man that ultimately will continue to give you what you're ultimately looking for. See, when I talked about the love that a man gives to a wife, I talked about the gift that keeps on giving. Well, the submission and the respect that you give a man, that's going to be a gift that keeps on giving in terms of what you then enable him to be in his world to then affect your world in the way that ultimately you would desire. So we need to trust God for that. We'll finish this up and bring up some more principles in terms of the ladies next week. So let's bow and let's pray. Father, we are grateful for what you establish in your word and the fact that we can trust it in terms of what the God of the universe has communicated to us for our understanding, our edification, our growth, determining what kind of people we desire and intend to be. And so, Father, I just pray that more and more when it comes to marriage, that we would have the communication, we would have the regard, we would have the thinking that is communicated in your word, and that being the orientation, that being the thing that I know not only intend and purpose to become, but I have communication with my spouse in terms of just how it's working, how I'm getting closer to the biblical paradigms in terms of just what a man should be offering his wife and a wife should be offering his husband. So in the context of that communication, help us to grow in our understanding of you, our understanding of your purposes, and just the example that sets for the world in terms of what they might otherwise dismiss in terms of God's character and God's principles. And so, Father, we lift this before you in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.